It's now really fun. I get to introduce to you our speaker for today. So Pastor Jeff Henderson is the lead pastor at Gwinnett Church, which is in the Atlanta area. It's a part of the North Point community, if you're familiar with North Point. And he leads that church there. He was here a couple of years ago, but here's what I would love for you all to know about Jeff before he comes up. Every conversation I've had with him, every opportunity that we've gotten a chance to spend some time together, one thing is absolutely clear. He is in love with the church. He is for the church. When you get to Gwinnett and you see what they're doing there and in a way that they're also like loving their community and trying to reach out to the community and say, hey, we are for Gwinnett, they're doing things that'll take your breath away. It's so cool. But even in our conversations, it is clear that he loves this church. And you will see that, it's evident. He's a great communicator. I cannot wait for you to hear what he's brought for you today. So give him friendly crossing eyes, but would you welcome Pastor Jeff Henderson?
Well, it's so great to be back. And by the way, it's back to school season back in Atlanta. We started actually 2 weeks ago. And how many of you remember when school didn't start until after Labor Day? Anybody? Yeah. Thinking, who came up with this idea to start so early? And then I realized, oh, it was a mom or dad that came up with this idea, right? So, well, before we begin, I want to say hey to Fenton, Mid Rivers, Grants Trail, and those of you watching online, obviously here at Chesterville as well. The Henderson family is supposed to be watching online, so text me if you actually are, okay? This is a little family test. But I'm so excited to be here. I love this church. I love what you're doing. Our church learns from what you're doing, so thank you for all that you do. And if it's okay, though, I want to dive right in because here's what we're going to talk about today. And what we're going to talk about, I think, is incredibly powerful, and it's not because of anything I have to say. It's something that God, I think, wants to provide you today. You know, you and I live in a world that wants to take from us, you know, buy this, go here, do that. And I totally understand all that. But today, we don't want anything from you. Today, we just want you to position yourself in a place to receive. God wants to give you something today. And if you'll receive this today, I think it will have a powerful, powerful impact. Again, not because of anything I say, but because of, I think, what God wants to do for you today. So today, we're going to talk about the blessing. And there's a subtitle to this talk, and it says, Receiving Something That Could Change Everything. And I'm a recovering marketing guy, so I know this sounds like a marketing slogan, right? Like, oh, really? Receiving something that could change everything? Well, here's what I believe today. That's not a marketing slogan. I believe that with all my heart. That if you'll position your hearts today to simply receive what God wants to give you today, I think this blessing is something that will change, could potentially change everything. And so if you'll do your part just by simply opening your hearts to receive what God wants to have today, I believe God will do his part to bless you with something that will change everything. Now, when it comes to this word blessing, it has a lot of religious overtones to it, right? The blessing is something some of us do before we say a meal. The blessing is something we do when someone sneezes. Some of you, when you think of the word blessing, you think of the movie Christmas Vacation, right? So there's all these kind of things we think of when it comes to the blessing. But when you look up the word blessing, words bubble up, such as encouragement, affirmation, belief, and approval. In fact, I think we're wired to receive a blessing in our lives. If you're a parent, you understand this. If you're a grandparent, if you're not a parent, you've seen this probably maybe at the pool this summer. You've seen a little kid or maybe your kid get to the side of the pool and they say, mom, dad. And then what do they say next? Watch this. That's right. You've been there. And so they jump into the pool. They come out of the water and they said, did you see that? And then they get out and do it another 892 times. And from their perspective, it's a unique dive every time. From your perspective, it's the same dive every time. But there's something in those little boys and little girls that want the approval of their mom and their dad. The mistake I think we make is we think we grow up and grow out of that. I don't think that's true. I think there's something in you and something in us that wants, in me, that wants the approval, affirmation, and belief and blessing spoken over us from our mom and our dad. And maybe because moms just are naturally more wired for this, perhaps, or maybe just because they're so much better at this, when a father speaks a blessing like this over their son or daughter, it maybe in some ways carries a little bit more heavier weight to it. Now, I want to just stop here and say that this doesn't diminish the role of moms in any sense. My dad was a pastor, and he said, son, whatever you do, don't make the moms in the church angry, okay? So, moms, I'm not diminishing your role at all. In fact, you're number one. And I can illustrate that you're number one, okay? When it comes to Mother's Day, you know, Mother's Day is in May, and Father's Day. When it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day, here's what we all know. That Mother's Day is greater than Father's Day, okay? Do you know, and I give you a couple examples, do you know when restaurants start promoting Mother's Day brunch reservations? Shortly after the end of the Super Bowl, that's in February, by the way. Do you know when restaurants start promoting Father's Day brunch reservations? 10 a.m. on Father's Day, right? It's like, oh yeah, we probably need to do something for the dads, okay? Now, if it sounds like I'm a little bitter, it's because I am, but also I have research to back this up. USA Today reports that this past Mother's Day, all of us collectively spent $23 billion telling mom, we love you, mom. We spent $12.7 billion telling dads that. Because we don't take him to lunch on Father's Day, right? So when I say mothers are greater than fathers, they're greater $11.3 billion, okay? So we got all that. Moms, you're number one. You're number one. But when it comes to this idea of the blessing, when a dad speaks this over their son or daughter, it just carries a little bit of a different weight to it. And so what I want to talk about is this fact that when we grow up, we don't necessarily grow out of this. To give you an example of this, over 30 years ago, there were a couple of family counselors. They were dealing with some families and individual couples and individuals, and they began to notice, no matter where these people came from, there was a consistent theme. As they began to go down into the past of their lives, they began to hit a rock that they said, oh, I think this is where a lot of this is stemming from. This is the quote that they had. I'll put this on the screen. It says, no matter your age, it's an important phrase right there. No matter your age, the approval of your parents affects how you view yourself and your ability to pass that approval on to your children, spouse, and friends. This is vital to your self-esteem and emotional well-being. So the question today I want to wrestle with for us in order to receive this blessing of where we're going, the question is this: what did you hear from your dad growing up? What did you hear from your dad growing up? And this question lands at all of our campuses today. It lands in different ways. Some of you got this blessing from your father, and some of you did not get this blessing from your father. In fact, ladies, let me give you a little insight on the men in your life. This question is one of the reasons why all of us men cry at the end of the movie Field of Dreams. And I'm about to ruin the end of the movie, and I apologize for that. I thought about this isn't really nice for me to ruin the end of this movie, but I prayed about it, and God reminded me, you've had over 30 years to watch this movie, okay? So I don't feel bad anymore. Okay, so at the end of the movie, Kevin Costner, if you've seen this movie, he's throwing a baseball with his dad. And the backstory of this film isn't about baseball. The backstory of this film is that Kevin Costner's character did not get a blessing from his father. And as he's throwing this baseball with his dad, it's an emotional moment because Kevin Costner's getting a redo and his father's getting a redo to say, I believe in you, I approve you, I affirm you, I bless you. Some of you got that and some of us didn't. And for those of us who didn't, I want to let you know it's not your fault. But if we go into our adult lives unaware of this, it can have an impact on us in ways that maybe we're not conscious of. So what did you hear from your dad? For some of us, we heard things like, why can't you be more like your sister? For some of us, we heard things like, you'll never be able to own your own business. For some of us, we heard, I'm disappointed in you. And for others of us, what we heard was silence. We didn't hear anything. Maybe your dad wasn't present in your life. Or maybe your dad was present, but he wasn't present. And that silence was deafening to you. And again, we gotta be really, really careful if that's the case, because it can have a huge impact on our lives. And I see this in my line of work all the time. But not only that, I see this just in life. A couple of years ago, Tim asked me, what do I watch on Netflix? One of the shows I watch is ESPN's 30 for 30. Anybody know? Yeah, there's a few of us. Well, 2 years ago, I'm minding my own business, and I'm watching an ESPN documentary on a former college football player 30 years ago. His name was Brian Bosworth. Anybody remember the nickname of Brian? The Boz, that's right. So he's in the College Football Hall of Fame, by the way. incredible linebacker, controversial, got kicked out of Oklahoma his senior year. So ESPN goes to do this documentary on the Boz. And they, as they do and go back to the, you know, his college days and pro days and all that kind of stuff, they begin to notice, oh, there was a really difficult relationship with Brian and his father. They interview a former high school teammate of Brian, and he says this story, that we're coming out of the locker room at the end of a game that they won, by the way, and Mr. Bosworth came up to him and said, hey, congratulations, you played great tonight. Then Brian came out of the locker room, he took his son by the shirt collar, slammed him up against the wall, and said, how dare you miss that many tackles? And he said, ironically, Brian made more tackles than anyone else on the team that night. So there's this moment in the documentary where Brian takes his teenage son to the storage facility where his mom had put all of his trophies and jerseys and newspaper clippings. It's now in a storage unit facility, which, by the way, is another sermon for another day, okay? And in that moment, Brian and his son have a conversation. And as I saw it, I thought, there it is. Here's Brian, this tough former NFL football player. It's been years since all this happened, and there it is, it bubbled up. No matter your age, the approval or lack of approval of your parents, that lack of a blessing can still impact your life today. And it was so powerful. I wanted you to see that today.
He took a shot at everybody he could, except his dad, which is the one person I think he really wanted to lash out at.
It seemed like no matter how well I played, because I played offense and I played defense, and, you know, I would score all the touchdowns or a lot of them and make a lot of the tackles, but I never seemed to be able to do enough.
Why was that?
I don't know. I don't know why. I couldn't make him happy. I don't know what it was about. I think it's something I just couldn't give him. God, look at this stuff. Just a lifetime. There's more to life than paper clippings and accolades and rewards. If you can't meet the expectations, it doesn't mean that you're less of a man. There's my degree, University of Oklahoma. So he kept my degree. But man, there was a lot of pain. I didn't feel like I could ever just meet his expectations. Let's put this stuff away.
Now, for some of you, you can relate exactly to Brian Bosworth. And the point I wanted to share is not to bring up emotional turmoil of the past necessarily, but to say this to you today. If you didn't get a blessing from your father, hang with me, it's still available for you today. And you might say, Jeff, that is the most ridiculous statement anyone could ever say. Well, I want to invite you to where we're going to go for a few minutes today, because it's still possible, as you're about to see in a few minutes, for you to receive a blessing from your father. Now, for some of us, we did get this blessing, and you had your father speak a blessing over you. In fact, I want to show you a picture of my dad. This is my dad. He passed away 5 years ago. This guy was amazing, and it's an opportunity for me today to be a steward of his blessing. If you got a blessing like this from your father, if you had a great father, that's awesome. We're blessed, but we now have a stewardship responsibility to pass that on to the next generation. And by the way, I just want to say thank you to Fenton, Mid Rivers, Chesterfield, Grants Trail, and everybody associated with Crossing Church, because this is an opportunity for me to steward the blessing that my father gave me to give it to you today. It's a stewardship responsibility. But for some of us, our mom or our dad are no longer there. And that voice of our mom or our dad, that blessing is gone. And when that happens, it has a significant impact on us. When my dad passed away, grief is this funny thing. Several months later, I just really hit a significant emotional bump in my life. People came up to me and they said, you just seem sad. And my wife, Wendy, kind of put it in the best terms. She goes, I think you're missing the voice of your dad. So I just had to take a few days off from work. By the way, do you know pastors are real people too? It's amazing. We struggle as well, okay? So the point of all this, this blessing, if you got it from your dad, we have a stewardship responsibility. If the voice of your mom or dad is gone, here's what I want to let you know. It's still possible for you to receive a blessing from your father today. And if you didn't get it, there's a blessing that's available to you. Now, how in the world would that possibly work? Well, today what I want to do for a few minutes is I want to show you a blessing that a father gave his son. And if you're a parent or grandparent, this is a fantastic three-step model for you and me to emulate today. But if you're not a parent, for all of us, this is a three-step blessing that you will be able to receive if you want to and if you'll put your heart in a position to receive it today. And this blessing that we're going to look at, it's not from a really good father. It's not from a fantastic father. It's from a perfect father. This blessing that we're going to look at is a blessing from our heavenly Father, God the Father, to God the Son. And I want to show you the blessing that he speaks over his son. As you're about to see, it's a blessing that he wants to speak over you and me as well. Now, this blessing happens at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and one of the first things he does is he goes to get baptized by his cousin John. And Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 3, kind of setting this up that will lead us to the blessing that I want to share with you today. And Matthew records it this way. He says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John." This is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. "But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to be baptized by me?' But Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." So he baptized Jesus. And then Matthew records, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened." I don't know how this works, but apparently, you know, the curtain between heaven and earth was opened. "And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." And in that moment, here's where I want us to capture from this point. A voice from heaven speaks into this situation. God the Father, I don't know how this works, but he's so proud of his son, he gets involved and gets present in the situation and speaks over the blessing. Speaks a blessing over his son. And this is what the blessing said. Matthew chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. And what I want us to do is just walk us through this three-step blessing. Again, parents, grandparents, this is a model for us to follow, but for all of us, this is a blessing for us to receive. So the first blessing that God the Father speaks over God the Son are these three words: "This is my son." Again, don't miss this. God the Father's in heaven. He's seeing God the Son getting baptized. He opens up the curtains of heaven and gets involved and basically tells everyone in the area, "That's my boy right there." That's the Southern International Version of the Bible, by the way. "That's my boy." Does everybody see? "That's my boy." In fact, what God the Father is doing is he's bragging on his son. He doesn't have to. But he wants to. There's something in him that says, "I'm so proud of him. I want everyone to know that's my boy." Parents, this is a fantastic lesson to emulate. Brag on your kids to people that they know. When I see people that my kids know, I go, "Oh, hey, you're a friend of Jesse. I love Jesse Henderson. I'm so proud that she is my daughter. Oh, you know Cole? I love Cole. I'm so proud he is my son." And one of the reasons I'm doing that isn't because it's true. One of the other reasons is I know they're probably going to see Cole or Jesse and say, "Hey, I was with your dad the other day. He is so proud that you are his daughter, his son." That identity is so important. And here's why this is important. When I was growing up, my father would have to discipline me, which I know is shocking to most of you in the room, right, and all of our campuses. But when my dad did discipline me, here's what he would say. He would say, "Jeffrey, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm disappointed you forgot who you are. You're a Henderson. We don't act that way. We don't treat people that way. We don't treat our mother that way. You're a Henderson. And my role is to elevate who you are and set the bar and the standard. This is who you are. You're a Henderson." And what he was doing in that moment is searing my identity and who I am. I'm a Henderson. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's who we are. That's how we act. And that identity is so vitally important. And for all of us today, what God the Father wants to do is to speak that identity, to say, you are my son. You are my daughter. And if we can live out of that identity first and foremost, if we can receive that blessing of identity first and foremost in our lives, it will have a significant blessing and return that possibly could change everything in our lives. Who are you? I'm a son of the living God. Who are you? You're a daughter of the living God. When you live out of that blessing, it has the power to change everything. But God the Father doesn't stop there. He speaks this other blessing over his son. He says this, he says, whom I love. This is the second part, second step of the blessing, and that is whom I love. He speaks a blessing of love over his son. So let me ask you, Crossing, this is not a trick question. Do you think that Jesus knew that God the Father loved him? Absolutely. That didn't stop God the Father from saying it anyway. Parents, this is why this is important. The issue, the question isn't, do you love your kids? That's not the question. The question is, do your kids feel loved? That's the question. And God the Father knew that Jesus knew he loved him. That didn't stop him. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell him I love him anyway, whom I love. Parents, this is why this is so important. This is why when it comes to this blessing of love, I love you often needs to be a complete sentence. Just needs to be a complete sentence. Hey, by the way, you're walking through the house. Just wanted you to know, I love you. I love you. In fact, I'll tell this to my kids all the time. I'll stop them. I've written them notes from their little kids. I'll end my notes by saying, I love you always and forever, no matter what. I love you always and forever, no matter what. And now I've said it. I'm so old now. They've heard this so many times. I just stop and go, I love you always and forever. And then I'll just point to them and they'll say, no matter what. That's fine. I love you always and forever, no matter what. That's the blessing of love in our lives. So dads, I want to challenge you to do something today. I want you to be able to do this, not just by saying I love you. I want you to write one note a month to your kids. Just write, and by the way, if you got a son who's older now, and you're like, he's too old for that. Let me just tell you, Crossing, we don't grow up out of this. Now, if you write one note a month, I'm not very good at math, but I've been told that's 12 notes a year, okay? Now, just say, I've said this to dads before, and they're like, oh, I'm not a good writer. I can't write. I'm like, look, it doesn't have anything to do with being a good writer. What it has to do with is that there's no one else on the planet that can write this note quite like you. But the other thing is that when you're gone, the notes will more likely still be here. In fact, my dad, as I mentioned, passed away 5 years ago. But my dad actually encouraged me yesterday and today. This is my dad's preaching Bible, and this is amazing. My dad gave this to me as a gift. I don't know if you can see this, but almost every page in this Bible is written with notes and his sermon notes. But my dad gave me this as a gift back in 2005 when I got ordained into the ministry. And in this, he wrote this note to me, all right, back in November of 2005. And part of this note was an encouragement that my dad saw in me as a communicator, and I read that last night, and I read that this morning, and my dad encouraged me today, even though he's been gone 5 years ago. Write notes of love and affirmation. It is a blessing that your kids will carry with them. Now, for all of us, though, here's why this blessing of love is so important. That maybe you grew up thinking this about God, maybe this notion that the better I am as a person, the more God loves me, right? Did you grow up maybe thinking this, the better I am, the more God loves me? And this is, by the way, kind of what religion teaches, that, you know, if you're a really good person and get on the religious treadmill, then God loves you. But if you kind of have a bad weekend, if you go off on spring break, God doesn't love you as much. So you have to get back on the treadmill, and it just becomes an exhausting thing. Just want to let you know, this isn't the message of Jesus. In fact, let me share with you the message of Jesus. This is pretty powerful when it comes to your behavior and my behavior, and that is my behavior doesn't shape God's love for me. This is shocking for many people. My behavior doesn't shape God's love for me. God's love for me shapes and determines my behavior. That's how this works. God's love for me shapes and determines our behavior. And let me warn you, in the words of that great theologian, Elmer Fudd, be very, very careful, okay? Because when you accept the unconditional love and grace of God, it will flat mess you up and change your life. That's how this works, gang. It's not, I'm going to get on the treadmill and do my best and hope God loves me. That's not the gospel. The gospel is my behavior doesn't determine or shape God's love for me. God's love for me determines and shapes my behavior. So will you put yourself in a position to receive this blessing? In fact, John wrote this in the very beginning of his gospel, John chapter 1. This is incredible when he talks about not only the blessing of love, but also the blessing of identity. He said, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That it is God's desire that you would receive your identity in him, his love for you. And this, he goes on, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That it is God's will that when you've placed your faith in Jesus and receive him, you get the blessing of identity and you get the blessing of love. But you have to receive the blessing. God's not going to crash and kick down the door of your heart, but he will. He will knock on the door. So will you put yourself in a position to do that? Now, if we just stopped with those two blessings, that would be phenomenal. But God continues with the final third blessing. This is my son, identity, whom I love, the blessing of love. And then with him, I am well pleased, affirmation and belief. So as Jesus comes up out of the water, God the Father speaks this blessing over him and says, look at my boy. With him, I am well pleased. Now, let me pause and tell you before I go anywhere, I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Jesus. I actually work for Jesus, okay? So I'm not trying to do that. So if I say something that offends you, you can email me. It's tim.bounds@thecrossing.church, okay? So that's cool. But in this moment, all right, so hang with me, all right? We're going somewhere, but hang with me. I may get a little bumpy. When Jesus comes up out of the water and God the Father says, oh, look, I am so pleased with what he's done. Let's backtrack this a little bit, okay? So Jesus, when he is born, there's a lot of hoopla. There's angels in the sky and there's shepherds and wise men. And then they take Jesus when he's a few days old to the temple. And these two older people, a prophet and prophetess, come up to Mary and Joseph and say, this is the Messiah. There's all this hoopla. Then when Jesus is 12, they take him to the temple and Jesus amazes all the religious leaders and teachers. They actually leave Jesus and forget him, which makes me feel so much better about myself as a dad, by the way, because I'm not a perfect dad, but I have never once lost the Son of God, not one single time, all right? So Mary and Joseph, they lose Jesus. They come back and go, why did you do this to us, Jesus? And he says, hey, I'm supposed to be about my Father's business. And the teachers and the leaders were amazed at his insight at the age of 12, the hoopla, the promise, the potential. It's amazing. And then from 12 to 30, we don't hear anything. Nothing. And maybe at the age of 26, moms, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe when Jesus is 26 or 27, maybe Mary, the mother of Jesus, starts throwing some hints out, like, you think you might need to get a job, Jesus? You know, do you have a plan? Are we going to do it? And then when he gets to 30, oh my goodness. Can you imagine the pressure? You've hit the big 3-0, Jesus. There was a lot of hoopla. We don't see any evidence of this. And yet Jesus comes at the beginning. This blessing doesn't happen at the end. It happens at the beginning. God the Father says, look at my boy. I am so well pleased with him. What is going on there? Well, what God the Father is doing is he's speaking into the character of his son. He's speaking into who he is. Because here's the great news. When you focus on character formation is greater than behavior correction. And what God the Father was doing is, look at your character. I'm molding your character. Hey, the behavior, your ministry, all of that, if we can just work on that character, all of that's going to take care of itself. So parents, character formation is greater than behavior correction. Now, the reason this is so important is because words, when it comes to your words, parents, words matter. Words shape. Words define. So as parents, we got to be really, really careful of what kind of words we're saying. In fact, parents, maybe this might sound a little familiar to you. How about we'll put some words on the screen. Don't do that. Pick up this. Clean up that. Say you're sorry. Say thank you. Do your homework. So we can speak sometimes in orders and negativity. I totally understand that. But what I'm saying is when you got to follow the blessing of the Father who spoke into character formation, because character formation will take care of the behavior correction. And just so you know, I understand this as being a parent of 19 years now, all right? How many of you, if you're a parent, you've had your kids had a meltdown? Good. All right, that's four of you. For the rest of us parents in the room, we hate you, okay? So the rest of us, we've had meltdowns, right? So, just kidding. So basically, I understand this. In fact, one time when my son Cole, I think he was like five, I don't know, he was a big fan of Clifford the Big Red Dog. Is that still a thing nowadays? And so he wanted to go to Barnes & Noble and get a book on Clifford the Big Red Dog. It just happened to be around Easter, and Wendy, my wife, was going to take him to get a book on Jesus. Well, Cole didn't know this, so he gets into the middle of Barnes & Noble and realizes he's not getting a book on Clifford the Big Red Dog. He's getting a book on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he should. And Cole begins to not say quietly, begin to yell, "I don't want Jesus. I want Clifford." That would be bad enough, but there were a lot of people in our church there at the Barnes & Noble, because it's Easter. They're buying kids, books for kids that more about Jesus, who they lovingly took because they want Jesus. Our son wants Clifford the Big Red Dog. So finally, Winnie just has to pick him up, take him out, and the whole time he's screaming, "I don't want Jesus. I don't want Jesus." And so Wendy calls me and says, "Your son, has that ever happened to you guys, Dad? Your son, it's not our son, it's now your son doesn't want Jesus. You need to quit the ministry and go back to Chick-fil-A," okay? So I'm not saying this some high and mighty. I don't understand the pressures of parenting. I understand all that, okay? But at the end of the day, we got to speak a blessing of character formation over our kids. And here's why this is so important. You know, our Father, our Heavenly Father is so wise. And then we have people who study this, and they begin to notice, oh, this is what's going on. This is what a child psychologist said about this. Christopher Bryan said this. He said, "Children are more likely to clean up toys when they're asked to be helpers," that's character formation, "instead of to help behavior correction." See the difference there? This is why at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, God's saying, "Look at my boy, I'm so proud of him, I love him. I'm well pleased with him." He's speaking into who he is and who he will become. Parents, it's a fantastic model to follow, and here's why. You know what happens after the baptism? The next verse says this, then, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus goes into a season of testing. And what's so amazing is as he does, the temptations of the devil line up with the blessings of the Father. And the blessings, you can read this on your own time, the blessing, each blessing is a perfect antidote to the temptation. So as Jesus goes into this season of testing, he remembers the words of the blessing from his Father. Parents, here's my question for you. When your son and daughter, when they enter into their own season of testing, what words do you want them to remember and to recall from you? That's what God the Son was doing as he faced his testing. This is a fantastic, powerful, rich blessing. But you hear that today and you say, "Well, Jeff, at the very beginning, you said that if I didn't get a blessing like this from my earthly father, it was still possible for me to get a blessing from my father. How does that even work? Because I didn't get a blessing like this from my dad." And Jeff, with all due respect, you don't know my dad. You don't know my story. How could you possibly say that I could get a blessing from my dad? You don't know my dad. And that's true. I don't know your dad. But I also do know your dad. I may not know your earthly father, but I know your heavenly father. And your heavenly father wants to give you a blessing today, whether you received one or not from your earthly father. And with all due respect to those of us who got a blessing from our earthly father, when we put our hearts in a position and our lives in a position to receive a blessing from our heavenly father, it's way more significant, way more powerful, way more helpful, and way more eternal. And if the voice of your father or mother are gone today, it's still possible for you to hear from your heavenly father. "You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. Pleased with who you are becoming." That's available to you. So what I'm calling us to do today at all of our campuses is to do this when it comes to the blessing, is to stop striving for the blessing and start living from the blessing. And what I mean by that is if you didn't get a blessing like this from your earthly dad, it's easy to go, you know what? I'll show you. You don't think I can graduate? You don't think I can own my own business? You don't think I can do this? I'll show you. And I totally understand that, by the way. But what happens is we spend our lives trying to prove our earthly father wrong. But what if we lived in a different way? What if we decided to start living and proving our heavenly father right? What if instead of trying to prove our earthly father wrong, what if we started to live our lives proving our heavenly father right and receive the blessing that he wants to give us over from him over us today? So here's what I want to do. In just a few minutes, we're going to close, and I'm going to ask those of you that maybe you never received this from your earthly father, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm just going to ask you to stand up during a moment of prayer. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You just need to stand up, and by standing up, you're not standing up to anyone. We're going to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You're standing up to your heavenly father saying, you know what? I didn't get this, but now I want to receive it from you. Or maybe the voice of your father or mother are gone, and you never thought of it this way. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive this blessing by simply standing up and letting God the Father speak a blessing over you. So ladies, I want to start with you. This is how the blessing would sound for you. The voice of God wants to say to you, this is my daughter whom I love. With her, I am well pleased. Would you allow your heavenly father to speak that blessing over you today? And when you do and you start living from this blessing, it's a blessing that can change everything. Guys, how about you? Maybe it's a little bit tougher for us. But the blessing that the father wants to speak over you, your heavenly father wants to say over you today is, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And this is what, to go back to what John said, in John chapter 1, he said, to all who did receive this blessing, he gave them the right to become children of God. That's why this blessing is so powerful. God doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. And he wants to bless you with his identity, his love, and his affirmation. Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask at all of our campuses, if you want to receive that blessing today, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. Wow. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters who are standing in this moment to say, I want to receive a blessing. And God, I don't know how this works, but in this moment, I think you're peeling back the curtain between heaven and earth and saying, this is my daughter whom I love. With her, I am well pleased. You're peeling back the curtains between heaven and earth and saying, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Thank you for blessing us, and thank you for their willingness to receive that blessing in this moment. And may we start and continue to live from this blessing. Now, for all of us at all of our campuses, I'd like for all of us to stand. I'm going to close and pray for all of us today. Father, thank you for what's happened. Thank you for what's happened this weekend already. Thank you for those who've stood up to receive your blessing. And I just pray today that we would walk out of this place knowing that your grace, your presence, your power, and your blessing goes with us. Thank you for being a wonderful, gracious, loving, perfect Father. And Jesus, we're thankful that you made all of this possible by going to the cross and coming out of that tomb. We pray this in your name. Amen and amen. The Crossing. Thank y'all so much. I'll see you hopefully soon. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.